104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone. Alongside Mark Howard, I'm Kevin Ingram. Blaine out this morning. Morgan Alexander is our producer. Coming up half an hour, we'll tell you more about what happened over at Bridgestone last night with the Jets win over the Preds. Let's head over to Knoxville now. Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML. We enjoy visiting with Jimmy each Monday and Friday talking Tennessee. Jimmy, what's going on this morning?
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. We usually start with football or in a lot of cases, men's basketball. Let's start with the Lady Vols this time. Are things reaching critical mass for that program with another loss to Alabama and one that wasn't close at all last night down in Tuscaloosa?
I think so. Guy, you're sitting there looking at a team that's 1-4 in conference play. That's never happened. They've lost 5 in a row to Alabama. That's never happened. They've lost 5 games in a row, I guess it is, or 4 games in a row in conference. That's never happened before either. And and just watching them last night, they don't play well together. They don't play with a high basketball IQ. They make low percentage passes. Their shooting has gone, it's horrific. Lately, their shooting has gone really bad. They don't have enough leaders on that team. They don't rebound like they used to. They don't play very good defense. They're not a very good team right now. They got off to a great start, but they were playing, it seemed, differently than they're playing now. But as I watched them, there wasn't much they did well, and they had a horrible fourth quarter against Alabama, which pulled away and won easily.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, Jimmy. If you told me in 1998 that, you know, in the span of 20 years, the Tennessee football program and the women's basketball program would be where they are now, I would have never believed that. For the Lady Vols, what are some of the bigger picture things that have gone wrong that have led to this slide? You know, aside from obviously, you know, Pat Summitt not being there anymore.
Well, one of the things is, and this is kind of funny, but they have, their recruiting rankings are good, but they have not had a great player since Candace Parker, in my opinion. They've had some good ones, but not a great one. And with rare exception, the times that they won national championships, they had a great player. The first one was Bridget Gordon, then Shamiqua Hosecall, then Candace Parker. They've had great players. Tamika Catchings is a great player. They haven't had that. Mercedes Russell was good. Nard was good. Not great. And they don't have anybody to just take over a game and win a game for them. And so I think that has hurt them in recruiting. So I think that's hurt them a little bit. And frankly, I just don't think that the coaching staff demands out of them what used to be demanded from their players. And so I don't think that they have developed at the level that they used to. And I think that's hurt the program as well.
On the other hand, the other team that occupies Pratt Pavilion and Thompson Bowling Arena is having just a magical season, talking about the Tennessee men's team. What did it say about Rick Barnes and his approach with this group that he seemed more unhappy after the game against Arkansas with the way they played down the stretch than all the other good things he did and what was basically a blowout win?
I wrote in my blog the other day, how far has the Tennessee program come? You score 100 points in an SEC game for the first time in a decade. You lead an SEC opponent by 30. You get 50 points off your bench. You shoot 11 out of 18 from three-pointers, and you're not happy. That's how far this program has come.
This sounds like the state where I grew up in, Jimmy, where they...
Yeah. So it was. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But and look, he's always going to look for something to complain about because he doesn't want the team to be complacent. And he was right to go. Now, he said second half. I would argue that it was only in the last 8 minutes that things got out of whack, because with 8 minutes left, it's 91-61. You got a 30-point lead. So over the last part of that game, Tennessee, they tried some silly passes, some low percentage passes. They didn't play very good defense. Arkansas started hitting some threes. So overall in the second half, Arkansas shot 57%. I'd say in the last 10 minutes, they probably shot 70%. So he had something to complain about. Arkansas had 53 points, but much of that was in the last 8 or so minutes of the game. So he got on that. And I tell you, when you're talking to the players afterward, they didn't sound happy either. They're like, we can't give up 53 points. We can't let a team shoot 57%. I think their goal is to try to, their ultimate goal is, what does it take to win a championship? And that type of 8-minute or 10-minute stretch is not good enough. So I think they focused on that to try to be a better team. The one Achilles heel, and I felt like the strength of this team is it doesn't have any weaknesses. But the one potential Achilles heel, they invariably have key players get in foul trouble. Schofield got two quick fouls. He didn't score in the first half. Grant Williams has been prone to foul trouble. That is the one thing that might, and even though they got good depth, that's the one thing that might end up catching up to this team in a given game or so. Not necessarily for the season, but in a game or so somewhere.
Jimmy, through the course of the week, since we've talked to you on Monday, T. Martin to Tennessee became official. You know, what are your thoughts on him, you know, finally coming back to Knoxville? You know, I was saying the timing was finally right, but just exactly where is he going to coach for Jeremy Pruitt?
Well, I don't know where he's going to coach, and I was digging on that yesterday, and I wasn't able to really get an answer. I was told by a source that Pruitt's already made the decision on what he's going to do. He just hadn't told anybody yet. Now, having said that, here's what I think is going to happen. I think that Jim Chaney, first off, is going to coach quarterback. And T. Martin will either have the wide receivers or running backs, because I think either David Johnson or Chris Winkie is going to leave the staff. I don't know which one, and I don't know what job might be lined up. But I think that's where he's going to go. What's interesting to me is T. Martin, even though he hadn't been announced, he's already on the road recruiting. You can only have 10 on the road recruiting. So who stayed off the road? Charles Kelly.
Who's headed for Maryland?
I'm sorry?
Charles Kelly's headed for Maryland as defensive coordinator, isn't he?
Well, I don't think so.
Really?
Has that been reported?
It's been reported, but you know about, you know, these things. They get thrown out there, and it's not really official until it's official.
Well, here's what I was told by my source yesterday. Now, again, he told me 60-40 was his belief. Kelly interviewed at Maryland, and the guy told me he doesn't think Kelly's going to go. But Alabama is pursuing him. Mm. So there's a chance he might end up going to Alabama. And there's a chance he stays at Tennessee. My source thinks he's staying at Tennessee. Now, again, this thing is fluid. And what my source thought yesterday at 1 o'clock, he may have a different opinion this morning at close to 8 o'clock. So that's what I was told yesterday. But my guy said he's not going to go to Maryland. And I was surprised at that. So, and he prefers Knoxville to living in Maryland, which is another thing he comes. So anyway, he's the one coach that's not on the road recruiting right now. And maybe a part of that reason he wasn't is because he was, he did interview for that job. The other part of that is Butch Jones looks like he's staying in Alabama. And it had been reported he was offered and taken the job at Maryland. So this thing is fluid. It's really, you know, it's hard to figure out. It can change from 1 hour to the next about what coach is going where.
Jimmy Himes is our guest. The Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. 6:43. We're coming right back with more with Jimmy in just a moment. 104.5 The Zone at 6:49, The Wake Up Zone. Our Friday morning chat with our friend Jimmy Himes, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville is where you can find Jimmy.
Jimmy, Vols assistant head coach John Lilly leaves to go to the Browns as tight ends coach. Any significance there?
Well, I think it's interesting in that Lilly had gained the trust of Jeremy Pruitt. And I didn't feel comfortable reporting this because I was told this off the record earlier, but somebody had told me that if Pruitt went, kept it in-house for the offensive coordinator job, that it wasn't going to be Will Friend and it wasn't going to be anybody else, but and there had been talk about Chris Winkie. It was going to be Lilly. Mm. And I was very surprised at that. But he's a quality control coach, and so I know that his duties are limited, and I'm sure that Jeremy Pruitt didn't like losing him, but if he liked him that much, he would have thought, well, certainly he would find a full-time position for him, but he didn't. And so I do find it interesting that connection with the Browns through the Haslam family, that he has left to go from Tennessee to Cleveland. But I know that Jeremy Pruitt liked him a lot and felt he was a value to the staff.
What about will Aubrey Solomon get a waiver to be eligible for this coming season?
I don't know. The NCAA has been more lenient with its waivers. You know, it's almost, well, I got a hangnail at that other school, and, oh, okay, well, you can get a waiver. You can go play right away. So I don't know. I don't know that he has a very good case for a waiver. Typically, it's when players have some type of illness in the family and they want to get closer to home, or something has happened at that school. Maybe he was lied to about something along the way or misrepresented somehow, and so they give him a waiver. I don't know if he's going to get one. He's one of 12 that have enrolled at midterm. There were 10 signees, then there's Solomon, and then there's Heath Shuler's cousin, a linebacker named Wes Shuler, who's the preferred walk-on. Those are the 12 that came in. But I don't know if Solomon gets a waiver. If he does, that could be significant for a Tennessee team that lost all three starters on the defensive line. They need as much help as they can get. Solomon's a former five-star. Does he play at that level? I don't know. Khalil McKenzie never did. But it seems like that would help them a lot on the defensive line if he is declared eligible.
All right. It's great if Philip Fulmer wants to coach and help out. It would have been nice, though, if he could have, you know, fixed maybe Drew Richmond before, you know, admitting he committed a secondary NCAA violation.
Well, yeah, and in fact, I don't, y'all probably saw there was a footage out there of him coaching the offensive line, and he told the people to turn the camera off. He knew he wasn't supposed to be doing that. Guess he couldn't help himself. But, yeah, and Drew Richmond, of course, has put his name in the transfer portal. When you do that, you still have the option to return, but I would be shocked if Richmond returns. Here's the other thing I learned. I learned some things about this transfer portal yesterday when I talked to somebody that's an expert on it. If you declare, if you put your name in the transfer portal, the school can withdraw your scholarship.
Yeah.
But if you waited until the semester started, they can't withdraw until the end of the semester. So Richmond waited until school started before he submitted his name, which is smart on his part. So Tennessee has to honor that scholarship through the semester, even if they plan to ban the scholarship at some point. So anyway, I do expect Richmond to go somewhere else, and I'm going to be really interested to see who's interested in him. After watching him play, I don't know that how many big-time schools will go after him, but maybe that'll be the case. We'll see.
Jimmy, as we finish up our time with you, give us a couple more things you're watching and recruiting with the other part of signing day coming up.
Watch for Tennessee to get Henry Toto. That's his name. Toto.
Okay.
And I think what helps him is that the defensive coordinator at Alabama that was recruiting him, I think it's Josh Lepeau, he has left. He has gone. And I think that Toto likes relationships, and he feels like he's got a great one with Kevin Simon. Kevin Simon's a primary recruiter. Tennessee's got a great shot at getting him right now. I think they will get him. As far as a couple of other things to watch out, there's George Pickens, the wide receiver who's committed to Auburn. There's Jamie Robinson, who's from Georgia. He's also committed elsewhere. I think they got a really good shot at him. And I do expect Tennessee to eventually get a commitment from Christopher Russell, the linebacker from Dyersburg, and from Donnell Wright. I think they'll get those two.
Jimmy, have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right, that's Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML. Over in Knoxville each Monday and Friday morning right here on the Wake Up Zone.
We didn't have a chance, and maybe we'll talk Monday because Tennessee adds a transfer, D'Angelo Gibbs, who was a four-star from Georgia, and he will sit out a year. But, again, just another solid player. He's a safety, and he will, or he could, fortify the secondary when he's eligible.
By the way, Tennessee basketball on the zone tomorrow, 1 o'clock for the Vols against Alabama as they try to stay unbeaten in SEC play and make Rick Barnes happy, you know?
Yeah. It's going to be, yeah, make Rick Barnes happy day, yeah.
All right,
don't fight.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up in just a moment, a little too much like last spring, the Preds and Jets face off, and the result was a little too familiar, much like what happened last May in Game 7 at Bridgestone, so we'll jump into that. And more on the NFC and AFC title games. Going to have Dennis Dodd coming up at 7:30 with the bigger picture of college football, so stay tuned. The Wake Up Zone coming right back. This is 104.5 The Zone.